Back at the surgery, I decided to wait up for my boss, and I sat there trying to rid myself of the feeling that I had blasted my career before it had got started. Yet, looking back, I knew I couldn't have done anything else. No matter how many times I went over the ground, the conclusion was always the same. It was 1 a.m. before Farnham got back. His evening with his mother had stimulated him. His thin cheeks were flushed, and he smelt pleasantly of gin. I was surprised to see that he was wearing evening dress, and though the dinner jacket was of old-fashioned cut and hung in loose folds on his bony frame, he still managed to look like an ambassador. He listened in silence as I told him about the horse. He was about to comment when the phone rang. "A late one," he whispered. Then, "Oh, it's you, Mr. Soames." He nodded at me and settled down in his chair. He was a long time saying, "Yes," and "No," and "I see." Then he sat up decisively and began to speak. "Thank you for ringing, Mr. Soames, and it seems to me as though Mr. Herriot did the only thing possible in the circumstances. No, I cannot agree. It would have been cruel to leave him. One of our duties is to prevent suffering." "Well, I'm sorry you feel like that, but I consider Mr. Herriot to be a highly capable veterinary surgeon. If I had been there, I have no doubt I'd have done the same thing. Good night, Mr. Soames. I'll see you in the morning." I felt so much better that I almost launched into a speech of gratitude, but in the end, all I said was thanks. Farnham reached up into the glass-fronted cupboard above the mantelpiece and pulled out a bottle of whiskey. He carelessly slopped out half a tumblerful and pushed it at me. He gave himself a similar measure and fell back into the armchair. He took a deep swallow, stared for a few seconds at the amber fluid in the glass, then looked at me with a smile. "Well, you certainly got chucked in at the deep end tonight, my boy. Your first case, and it had to be Soames, too. Do you know him very well?" "Oh, I know all about him. A nasty piece of work, and enough to put anybody off their stroke. Believe me, he's no friend of mine. In fact, rumour has it, he's a bit of a crook. They say he's been feathering his nest for a long time at his lordship's expense. He'll slip up one day, I expect." The neat whisky burned a fiery path down to my stomach, but I felt I needed it. I wouldn't like too many sessions like tonight's, but I don't suppose veterinary practice is like that all the time. "Well, not quite," Farnham replied. "But you never know what's in store for you. It's a funny profession, ours, you know. It offers unparalleled opportunities for making a chump of yourself. But I expect a lot depends on your ability." "Well, to a certain extent. It helps to be good at the job, of course, but even if you're a positive genius, humiliation and ridicule are lurking just around the corner. I once got an eminent horse specialist along here to do a rig operation, and the horse stopped breathing halfway through. The sight of that man dancing frantically on his patient's ribs taught me a great truth, that I was going to look just as big a fool at fairly regular intervals throughout my career." I laughed. "Then I might as well resign myself to it right at the beginning. That's the idea. Animals are unpredictable things, so our whole life is unpredictable. It's a long tale of little triumphs and disasters, and you've got to really like it to stick it. Tonight it was Soames, but another night it'll be something else. One thing, you never get bored. Here, have some more whiskey." I drank the whiskey, and then some more, and we talked. It seemed no time at all before the dark bulk of the acacia tree began to emerge from the grey light beyond the French window. A blackbird tried a few tentative pipes, and Farnham was regretfully shaking the last drops from the bottle into the glass. He yawned, jerked the knot out of his black tie, and looked at his watch. "Well, 5 o'clock. Who'd have thought it? But I'm glad we had a drink together. Only right to celebrate your first case." "It was a right one, wasn't it?"